All right, Jed, let me confirm. You're there with us?
I made it back.
From Mars and back. That was quick. To each of you and all of you, thank you so much for joining us for our MediaBids Power Hour, an educational opportunity to come together and talk about ad sales, media selling, whether it's in print, whether it's on our e-newsletter or our website. Whether your circulation is free or paid or controlled, you are in the right spot. We have a deep passion for helping you drive more ad sales than you possibly could have imagined and, of course, would want to anticipate. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you to close your office door, turn off whatever you have electronically. In other words, just try to find a way to really get settled in and be able to focus on the points that we're going to be covering. Do recognize that there's not something on your screen that would create many tasking or multitasking. So it's not an accident. We keep it very simple, just an audio message, because all of the best in adult learning and education simply means that the more notes you take and the more notes you make, the more that we will be able to infuse to you the very best knowledge that we're going to be covering. Plus, we also appreciate any questions that you send to us or share with us, and we'll incorporate those questions during the course of our hour here together. Plus, those of you who sent questions in advance, we have those, and we will be able to work our way in and out of those. With me is Jed, the founder and CEO of MediaBids. And, Jed, I always love some opening words. So tell us what's cooking in the world of MediaBids. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank Ernest. He does a great job in these teleseminars. I'm looking forward to another. I always learn a lot. My name is Jed. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we've been around for about 20 years. We are entirely devoted to generating revenue for publications. We have a variety of ways that we do this, and a variety of sort of unique ways of approaching advertising. But at the end of the day, I mean, we work with publications so that they make more money. We're always looking for new opportunities for publications, and always looking for new publications to work with us, to work with. So if you're currently using us, thank you. If you're still thinking about it, feel free to give us a call. There's no cost to use MediaBids. I mean, right now we're sort of neck deep in the holiday campaigns that we're running, things like Omaha Steaks, which tend to perform very, very well around the holidays. So we're talking to a lot of publications currently about these holiday campaigns. It's taking up the vast majority of our time. Once the holidays are over, we'll switch to other sort of more Q1 relevant advertisers. But right now it's all about gifts, which perform very, very well for publications, and it's always surprising how many people respond to some of these gift offers. That's what we're doing.
Beautiful. And Jed, always appreciate our working together. For those of you who are working with MediaBids already, you know the wonderful service and you know the wonderful opportunity to work with them. They deliver on what they promise. On the other side, for those of you who are listening here today live, do take a look at MediaBids, and you will learn lots about the partnership they have with media groups like each of you and all of you, and you will love working with them. They operate, I like to say, in the old-fashioned sense, which is what they say is what they do and deliver on, and you'll greatly enjoy working with Jed and his team. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales space, Jed, back in 1986. Been around for more than a minute. launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group. We launched Power Hour in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500 ad leaders and their companies and their teams in 13 time zones around the world, Jed, over the last 22-plus years. Every single Tuesday, we take great pride. Our flagship is our Advertising Sales Academy. We tuck in, Jed, 20 key points in a media presentation. We talk about 27 business development strategies. We do a lot of work around negotiating skills and sales skills as well. So it's always a pleasure working here together with each of you and all of you. This is our 259th educational opportunity since the launch of Power Hour. Anytime we come together like this with each of you and all of you, Jed and I have three specific goals. Number one, we want to include new ideas that will stretch and spur and stir your thinking. Number two, we want to confirm the things that you're hearing match and mirror best practices in the media space. And lastly is the serendipitous, the things that you're going to hear, might hear, will listen to, which will spring to or catapult another idea that you weren't even anticipating. So for today, we're going to be talking about what we measure is what improves. And we're sort of leaning in, Jed, as you know, for 2018 and really focused on in this first point, this first area, what are our plans to make it the best year ever? So when we think about, you know, that is a broad statement. Let's kind of sort of think about underneath what those pieces are. When we think about the coming year, things are going to get a little quieter as we go into the end of this year around the holidays. This means that since the middle of August through September, through October and through the early parts of November, we've been intensely focused on doing what? Selling into the budget season cycle. In other words, getting our media solutions tucked into the budget so that we're lined up for 2018. So this becomes the time of year that it sort of means that we can sort of step back just a little bit, not a lot, but just enough to say, and what are our big plans? What is it we want to say this time next year are our big stories, are our big growths, are our big opportunity? Do we acquire a competitor? Did we add and expand some of our website work or increase our search engine visibility? Do we strengthen our editorial? How are we doing with our results in terms of our ad results, our ad clicks, our the leads that we send to advertisers, the inbound phone calls, all of those pieces? What are we doing from a big picture so that this time next year we have an amazing story? Because right now we're only able to tell what? Our 2017 story. What were the big things we did this year? What was the impact on our readers and what was the impact on our advertisers? But frankly, we're thinking about 12 months from today. What is it you most want to say, share, and tell during next budget season from that perspective? So some of the specific pieces as we work day in, day out with our ad sales and media groups is we start with our attitude, right? Big picture, what is our attitude about this year? How did this year progress? Are we pleased and proud of what we accomplished? What is it we want to do going into next year, right? Number two, what about our advertisers and what are their needs? So, Jed, as we're working with those advertisers, think about those that you work with. What is it they're thinking about from 2017? What are they thinking about going into 2018 from in terms of their ad results, in terms of the media selection and mediums they were choosing? What about their cost per call, cost per click, cost per sale a transaction? What are those kinds of things, Jed, even as you're speaking with and talking to advertisers, what are some of those things that you're hearing from advertisers about this year and or what they're thinking about going into the new year?
Sure. I mean, so you know, a lot of the advertisers that we work with are focused on results, and one of the reasons why we're working with them is that they oftentimes have sort of begun looking away from print and sort of moved a lot of their budget away from print. We've been able to bring a lot of their budget back into print because we're able to show them that the results that they're generating through print is better than what they're getting online. And so what our advertisers are looking at, most of them are they're looking at the cost per acquisition of a particular customer. One of the things that that we spent a lot of time talking to our customers about, and I'll use Omaha Steaks as an example. I brought them up earlier, is that, you know, they're looking at how much it costs for them to capture a customer, and then what that customer is ultimately worth to them. So what did customers that we brought someone like Omaha Steaks last December, what did they do this year, right? Did they just buy once and then go away forever? In which case, that customer is, you know, it's still great that they bought, but they're not as valuable as a customer that might have bought, you know, three or four times throughout the year. So they're breaking down sort of the acquisition costs and the lifetime or year-long value of a customer based on medium, right? Based on, okay, well, the customers that came from the internet only bought once. The customers that came from print bought on average three times, right? What does that mean for our advertising budgets going forward? You know, obviously, you know, if you you'll spend a lot more to get a customer that's more likely to buy two, three, four times in a year than you would for a customer who's only sort of doing a one-off purchase. So these are the kinds of conversations that we tend to have a lot. You know, we also spend a lot of time this time of year talking to our advertisers about what they're actually advertising. You know, are the offers in the ads compelling? Are they, you know, are they competitive with what's being advertised in other mediums? I mean, one of the things that we see a lot happen is that, you know, at some of these larger companies, sometimes one hand doesn't really know what the other hand is doing. So, you know, the guy who's handling one medium might be offering one specific, you know, type of offer. Someone who's handling another medium may be offering something completely different. So those types of things end up dramatically impacting response and impacting sort of the effectiveness of any campaign. So it's a great time for us to kind of to circle back and to see throughout the course of the year what different offers and different approaches, how they, you know, the results that they yielded in comparison to, you know, to other mediums. You know, we find that anytime we can sort of get real numbers on sales and phone calls from our clients on other mediums, it's a great event because print generally will outproduce just about anything else, you know, we want our clients to break it down, and we want our clients to really look at, you know, at how much they're spending on print and how much they're spending in other mediums and what they're bringing in, because when we do that pretty consistently, the customers that are being generated by print are much more valuable to our clients than really customers being generated from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so as you're listening to Jed talk about advertisers and their needs, press that against what you know about advertisers, what you know about their particular needs. Were they satisfied or not with 2017? What are they expecting in 2018? What is it you're doing to adapt to that? What are you doing to engage with the right readers to bring the right audience? What's happening in an overall sector? For those of you that work in the, for example, RV space, what do you know about that space? Or for those of you that sell ads to realtors, or those of you that sell ads city by city or market by market, no matter where you are around the world, the point is you need to be on the pulse as intimate as you just heard from Jed. That's our challenge to you. So continuing with this, as we look at 2018, to make it our best year ever, thinking about this time next year, 12 months from today, where you want to be, what shifts are you making with your circulation and or your distribution? We have those of you that have paid, those of you that have free, those of you that have control. Doesn't matter which model. The key is the never-ending quest to do what? Put the right reading information in front of the right readers with the right level of interest. Okay, and that quest continues to be. Does it mean you're going to shrink and tighten your circulation or distribution, and why? Does it mean you're going to expand it, and why? What are those strategies? And then, of course, how does that relate to your particular competitors as well in the marketplace, what they're asking for? The next point, what about your reader engagement? Reader engagement, you've been listening to Jed talk about. What are the number of inbound phone calls? What are the number of clicks and or forms and leads being filled out? What are the number of likes, for example, in your Facebook? What about the number of comments in your blogs, your tweets or retweets related to Twitter? We can go on and on and on. Reader engagement is something that says what you have to say as an advertising medium is so important, right, that those readers are engaged, which means your advertisers are also getting the result of that, the engagement, and thus the results. It all ties together. What about the way that you're going to bundle print, newsletter, and website? How do you weave all of that together plus any other value adds? What about your search engine visibility? All right, let's talk about your website and think about where are you being seen across what key terms and phrases? Do you see a report every month? How does that increase or not if you're not seen in a prime way? How does that impact your visibility on the web on the digital side? How close are we watching that? What did your report say on November 1st? What will it say on February 1st? What about next November 1st, 2018? Where is it you want to be? Because while we talk about advertisers and their marketing engine, today we're talking about your marketing engine, right? How does this all sync up? How about the part about alliances? We do a lot of talking about smart match alliances, the alliances that we create that bring what? Either on the ad sales side, a steady stream of leads and referrals, or on the print, newsletter, or website side, an endless stream of what? New readers and readership. Yeah. Okay, Smart Match Alliances is one of the principles that we tuck into every other week during our Tuesday Sales Academy, a very important point. And the last piece here is simply playing big. What are those things that sort of take your breath away? What are the biggest things you could possibly imagine in a marketplace? Imagine in a marketplace that you were if you were to acquire two of your competitors and you're the only one standing, for example. What, imagine if you had the best editorial team, if that's part of what you parlay. Imagine if you don't have editorial, that you have the largest number of ads in the space, and that how could every attorney, if there were 220 attorneys in your marketplace of your ideal target audience, and 218 of them were with you. This is the piece called playing so big, playing so large, because that's what it takes. And you might say, gee, Ernest, is that because there's more media choices than ever before? I got to tell you, for all of you and Jed, from our perspective, it's always been that way. Jed, you love to play chess. I love to play tennis. At the end of a chess match or at the end of a tennis match, there is only one winner. And we play for that. Jed, last I checked, we don't play for a draw. Would you agree?
Right, right. you're right. True. Yep.
So those are our pieces for you. Those are the things that we wish for your 2018. As you're strategically thinking about it, the next 2, 4, 6 weeks are some of the best times in the media space, because if things slow down just a little bit, you're like a farmer saying, I'm going to bring all my equipment back to the barn. I'm thinking about my next harvest. I'm going to sharpen the tools that need to be. I'm going to repair the ones that I didn't get to during the last harvest, and I'm going to replace and add the new stuff that I need for the next harvest. That's what this window is. And in my earliest days, Jed, and for all of you of being in media and ad sales, I didn't think of it this way. I thought, oh, things are slowed down, and I can't reach media buyers, and ad selling season is over, and I've got ads to sell and renewals. Do I have those things? But it's just a little less quiet. And let's see, a little more quiet, actually. Let me go the other way. A little more quiet. And being a little more quiet, I can invest in me. I can invest in my team. I can invest in my website, my distribution, my readers, all the things that we talked about. Take this window of time and make that investment. We don't get many windows like this during the course of a busy sales and selling cycle, but this is that small lull where we can really capitalize on that. Jed, any additional comments about positioning for the upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you're right. I mean, this time period is a great opportunity to invest in things that you think are gonna change things in 2018. I mean, I think that one of the things which is always helpful is to, you know, and this is probably a great time of year to do it, is to think for a while about why it is you've lost the customers you've lost, you know, and what were the reasons behind that, and you know, and what, if anything, can be done to try to solve those problems. You know, I guess the first challenge in that is better understanding why they left. But once you understand why they left, you know, is there anything that you can do to try to combat whatever issues they faced? You know, because if there's any time when you're most likely to sort of get a customer to give you an appraisal of why it happened, you know, it's probably around, you know, over the next month or so, you know, when they're thinking about what they did this year and thinking about what they're going to do next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And actually, Jed, the next portion of our call, we're going to chat about that, some of the key areas. No, it's great. Jed, we're so on the same page that we are often overlapping, and it's perfectly appropriate because we are talking about, you know, what are the barometers of success, okay? So as you're listening to Jed talk about, you know, what does happen with an exit interview or when an advertiser drops, when do you analyze that as a media sales group and as an ad sales team? When do you stop and pause and say, so what percent, how come we lost a third of our advertisers tied to our digital side, or how come we lost two-thirds tied to our print side, or why do we lose X percent tied to our e-newsletter? Those are the honest questions that we are constantly asking ourselves, never settling for halfway. And then the other side of it, Jed, as we often know, is that it is far easier to sell new advertisers, far more difficult to sell those who have dropped, and to be able to bring them back in as an advertiser, it's far more difficult because they obviously canceled because they weren't happy. So having lots of past advertisers or former advertisers in the mix is not the greatest cup of tea, so to speak, to drink. So very valid point. Again, remember, during the course of our MediaBits Power Hour, we'll field your questions. Simply hit reply to the email that we sent you, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we will be more than happy to tuck those questions in. There is a question that I wanted to address, Jed. I thought we'll take this one here, then we'll move into the next part of our conversation. Max asks us, just what can I do to get to the correct person or persons at local ad agencies to listen to me about my media, to listen to what I have with my publication and media to use in 2018. So the question really for Max is the best steps to get into local ad agencies. You want to kick that one off, Jed?
Sure. I mean, I think that that ad agencies, you know, in some sense are some of the easiest businesses to approach because their intentions are usually extremely transparent. And by that I mean that you know, they've been tasked by their client to do advertising that is successful, right? To spend money wisely, to make the client more money than they're spending on advertising. And they're pretty agnostic. You know, they don't care, you know, how that happens. You know, they will run ads in bathrooms, and they will run ads on, you know, the back of sales receipts, and they will run ads online, and they'll do whatever it takes. So the biggest, you know, I've found, you know, the the biggest way to the biggest way to be successful and to sort of, you know, talk to ad agencies is not really about your, you know, at least initially, and not really about sort of your product and your, you know, what it is you're doing, but it's more about what you can do for them, right? It's more about, you know, I have a product that can generate, you know, new customers for you at a low cost per, you know, per customer acquisition cost. You know, there's not an ad agency in the world that's not going to listen to you, right? Because ultimately they are driven by this constant fear that their clients are going to get rid of them because they're not doing enough. They're not generating enough revenue. They're not generating enough new customers, whatever they're sort of tasked to do. And so by approaching it in sort of a more data-driven manner, I think that you cut through a lot of the preconceptions that they may or may not have about print. You know, and a lot of the preconceptions that do exist out there about print, you know, are not all that positive. And it's really unfair, and it's really sort of an ignorant way of thinking about the world. But it's the way that it's worked out. And I think that, you know, as print people, right, we have to sort of take a little more initiative than some other mediums need to, because we have to not just tell people how it can, you know, how it can work, but also sort of show them or give them examples of how it has worked. So to the extent that you can throw at the ad agency, look, you know, we know we can generate new customers for you. We know we can generate new customers for you at a lower cost than you're generating elsewhere. And, you know, and be able to give an example of where you've been successful. I think that, again, most advertising agencies are so concerned about pleasing their client that they will certainly entertain what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Max, hope that's helpful for you, given what Jed is sharing. The bottom line is you have to be able to show specific examples of the work you're doing in that space and sector. For example, when you have ad agencies that focus on auto dealers, they want to know exactly what you've done with auto dealers, exactly what the results are, and exactly what they can expect from you. Once, by the way, you get rolling along with those dealers and ad agencies, it's sort of like a snowball that gets bigger and bigger and more successful. So we're hoping that answers the question. If there's more you'd like to send to us by email, send us a follow-up, and we hope that is helpful for you and those who have also joined us. Jed, let's shift gears to point number two that we promised to cover, the 10 most important questions to be asking yourself tied to ad sales success. So let me just step back for a second. This is a dashboard. Now, we have those of you in ad sales with us, sales managers, and then the owners and presidents of your company. So we want you to think about this through the different tiers, okay? If I'm a sales rep, these are the questions that are on my screen, and on a weekly basis, I'm reporting those up to my sales manager. Sales managers, it works in reverse. By Friday at 4 o'clock, those reports and the dashboards that are measuring what we're talking about here are being rolled out from your team up to you, rolled in together so you can see individual performance, and then you're ready for your Monday one-on-ones. And to the owners and presidents of your companies on the other side, this you're seeing all the way rolled up from your perspective so that you know week in, week out, month in, month out, and then from a trend perspective, how this month compares to last month, how this quarter compares to the same quarter last year, and so on and so forth. So the key pieces that we're talking about, the granular pieces, sort of the branches on the tree, but the dashboard is what brings all the branches together, if that's a helpful visual, okay? So we're often asked about keeping track of calls, emails, messages left, and so forth. Let's just say the words that in the media space, we don't want to be micromanaging how many calls that I make, how many follow-ups that I make, and so forth. But, here's the but if you're not driving a net gain, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, if you're not driving positive forward progress, then you, as the individual, want to keep track. You want to keep score so that you see where you're at. Okay, and then likewise, for those of you who are the sales managers, you pause and say, Ernest, what you and Jed are saying is, yeah, I don't need to micromanage. That's right. We've got those that are selling in sales. They're being paid well. The bottom line is that they're paid to perform, and if they don't perform, they're not earning their true compensation. But if you have a rep who is struggling, then you may want to break down and have a conversation and say, look, for the next week, why don't we keep score? Follow-up calls, cold calls, and so forth, okay? So that's sort of the very small piece of work that should be done by the individual, and we really don't need to roll that up into our dashboard. But the next point is key, number of presentations. The number of presentations is a very healthy barometer. Every time I get an opportunity to give a presentation to an ad agency, a decision maker, marketing person, whomever that might be, that counts. Because I only if I give a presentation do I get a chance to get what? A yes or a no, a buy or not. Okay, so keeping track of the number of presentations. I once had a sales rep who worked for me, Jed, by the name of Kerry, and Kerry said, every single month that I have 15 presentations or more, I have a positive net gain. Shush, poof, love that. And that little those words went on to become a really impactful trend because she was spot on, not only for herself, but we could see it across the 60 sales reps that rolled up and reported to me in my corporate days. The next two pieces relate to the size of ads, small ads versus large ads. And really there's a companion piece called our top 10, the largest we're playing for. But if you kind of think about it in a baseball visual, you know, we want to get singles, we want to get to first, we want to get some doubles and triples. We don't always have to get up to the plate and hit the big stuff. The big stuff could take years or many months and so forth. So every single week, we want to be what? Practicing our selling and sales. Now, I realize that we have those of you that only work with smaller accounts, and more senior people work with medium to larger. But the point here in general, as we look at our dashboard, is what kind of ads are we selling? Are we selling smaller? Are they larger? Or are they part of what we consider our top 10, the real, the I wish stuff, the dream stuff? And in the course of any given month and cycle, we want to be doing what? Focusing on all aspects of each of those core areas. Another big piece are renewal percentages. If I have 10 ads up for renewal and I close all 10 this month, I batted 1,000, right? Happy camper. If I had 10 for renewal, up for renewal and I close 2, I was 20%. The percentage of renewal is a prevailing trend. Renewals are tied to your preparation, no doubt, your relationship with those advertisers, how you sold it, what the expectations were, how you're tracking the ad sales on the other side. So there's a lot involved. And we have done, Jed, together, entire MediaBid Power Hours just focused on renewals. And about twice a year in our Tuesday Sales Academy, we go very, very deep on that. And then ultimately, the net gain. So, Jed, if I sell 2 ads and I lose 2, my net gain is what? 0. If I sold $1,000 in ads but I lost $1,000, my net gain is 0 as well. So we really, on our dashboard, want to look at, here's what my new sales was, what I generated. Here's what my renewals were. Here is my net gain. And when you see it by week, by month, by year to date, by rolling in the last 90 days, good and great things come from that. And then, Jed, you also said it earlier, and the back end of that is, and beyond just the net gain, hey, you had renewals, Ernest. You know, you had 10 renewals. You know, only 7 renewed. What happened to those other 3? Let's see if we can roll that up and identify what those patterns are. If you have 10 reps and we lose 30 renewals, where did they fall? What were those reasons? And Jed, you said it earlier, because it is vitally important to know why they went out the back door, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if I was a sales manager today, right, I it would seem to me like one of the biggest objections or one of the biggest issues that I would be dealing with is, you know, I want my salespeople to feel good about the product that they're selling. And no matter how optimistic and how well-trained someone is, if every business they walk into is saying to them, you know, I'm doing all my advertising online now, right? That would be pretty tough to take. It would be pretty depressing day after day, week after week to hear that. If I'm a sales manager today, though, I want to give my salespeople the proper tool to be able to come back to that objection, you know, to offer a comeback to that objection or the many objections that are like that. And the best way to do that is to provide data that can show, you know, that so your salesperson can go into them and say, you know, that's fine, you want to, you know, move all your advertising money online, but, you know, we generated 35 phone calls for you last month, and, you know, if you don't want them, I'll find someone else who does, right? I mean, there are customers who respond to print in a way that they're not responding to other mediums. And so being able to prove that, I think now is more important than ever, because there really is a story to tell there, and there's a good story, but just so few people in the print world take the time and the effort to be able to tell it. And it's really a shame. So I think that if I'm managing people today, I want to do something to give them some ammunition to overcome that objection. And you can do that, you know, a variety of ways. As Ernest has mentioned, we've had teleseminars on it. You can do it by tracking phone calls, using unique 800 numbers, by using unique URLs. There's lots and lots of different ways of getting a really good idea of the kind of response that advertisers are getting. But you know, it's such important data, and it really changes the way that you sell. I think in many cases for the positive.
Absolutely. As long as we're talking about sales, we have a question that came in. I'm going to sort of grab these together. Gloria asks, "How can I find the best qualified sales reps to work on commission only?" Steve asks, "Who makes the best 100% commission salesperson?" All right, so let's have a little get real conversation, okay? Straight commission, depending on if you're talking about, hey, I'm going to walk in and there's $1 million portfolio, $100,000 portfolio, and I'm going to earn blank percent. Let's make up a number, you know, 10% of that. So 10% of $1 million is $100,000. Well, okay, that's straight commission. Yeah, I got that. You know, but if it's 10% and there's $100,000, that's $10,000. What are you really expecting? And if you're really talking about 100% straight commission, and I've got to go grind a new base myself out, in other words, there's nothing coming on board, this is pure commission, that's a tough, that's a challenge, okay? And it's some version of you're going to get what you pay for. When you think about ad selling and ad sales, this is generally business-to-business selling. It is more complex than ever before. Jed, we go back far enough, we'll date ourselves, that it used to be very simple. There was Yellow Pages, there was direct mail, right, the Advo direct mail, and there was newspaper. Boom. Then it expanded into city magazines, business publications. Then we got the next wave, which was specialty publications, apartment publications, real estate, automotive, motorcycle, shopper-related. That was the next piece. And then, boom, the Internet. In the current world of the web and the Internet, you have got to be on top of your game. You have more competitors than ever before. We are working harder yet smarter in terms of who those competitors are. But if you think that you're going to just bring somebody on board, straight commission, it's probably going to be something somebody who's 20-something. It might be their first or second sales job, and you're going to have an endless revolving door unless straight commission equals there's some existing biz that I can then grow and build my business on. Jed, your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I understand the desire to hire someone at 100% straight commission, but boy, I would really question the kind of person who is likely to take that job. You know, I think that when you're hiring a salesperson, you know, just my two cents, I think that good salespeople are first and foremost good at selling themselves. And I think that, you know, to be really, really generalize about it. Most good salespeople are selfish. And so unless you incentivize them properly, you know, you're not going to get good salespeople.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is the challenge. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because then they leave, they turn, then you go to fill the next position, they turn, and suddenly an advertiser says, hey, Ernest and Jed, how come I'm seeing like my sixth sales rep in 6 months? And therefore, where do they make the connection? Therefore, there must be something wrong with you or your company or your publication or website. Therefore, what's wrong must be that advertisers aren't getting results, which is another self-fulfilling prophecy, which means what? People are turning over because advertisers are turning over. And as a little side note, when we do talk about competitors and we do see two, three, four people spooling out, we already know inside there's problems. We know that those are competitors that we're competing with that are spiraling and spooling, and that's to our advantage. So I'm hoping that Steve and Gloria, that's helpful for you, but you can hear Jed and I very specifically saying that that is not our recommended strategy, okay? If you'd like to talk offline about other strategies or other combinations of things that do work, we can certainly have that conversation. Let's go back to some of the other key pieces here that we want to cover, and that is keeping track of ads from competitors. I don't care if you have a dartboard. Jed, you've heard me talk about shark hooks, right, in past teleseminars where in my corporate days we had a shark hook as big as our arm, literally hanging by a chain, and the chain links are as big as your hand, sitting in the middle of the conference room table, and we had all the pages of the advertisers up on the wall, and as we tore them down and drove them through that shark hook, we had a great time. Okay, and so keeping track of however you want, we've done entire teleseminars about ad drop reports in our Tuesday Academy meetings in the last 30 days. We took that even to a more granular level. What goes in an ad drop report, how to sort it, what you do with it, how do you feed it back to the results, what to your team, and then get the results. What does it mean when a competitor suddenly took all their half-page ads and boosted them up? What does it mean when they took, you know, X number of advertisers and floated them over to their website? You know what it means? The ads weren't working, and they were giving away those ads, okay? And then what does it mean when a third of those ads were given away? It's our job and our work to go out and what? Explain to the rest of the advertisers that they should also be getting the same additional bounce. The point is there are incredibly intense selling strategies when we sell against competitors that are making transitions like that. So the success of how we sell against and pull the biggest advertisers. Another component is take a look at the top 5 or 10 or 15 advertisers in each of the competitive publications and websites you sell against. If you pulled them away from your competitors, not only did you gain the revenue, but they lost the revenue on the other side, that makes a massive impact. Keep track of that as part of the key questions that you ask yourself. We also talk about centers of influence. And at a very high level, centers of influence are those who most know what's moving around in the sector. We also focus, Jed, as you know, on lead sharing groups, networking with other vendors and suppliers working in the same space as us but who are not our competitors. There's such a richness of opportunity in terms of that. We also talk about the circle of influence. Circle of influence is when you work with larger companies or even across ad agencies, expanding your footprint as you're thinking about your success in 2018. Where are those things? What did you do in the last 30 days to go deeper within a current advertiser or deeper within an ad agency? Okay, those are the things that we look for when we think about success and the things that we tie it to. And last but not least, my absolute favorite, Jed, what did I learn this month? What did I learn this month that I didn't know last month? A new selling strategy, new competitive news, new industry insight, new jargon I didn't have, new relationships I built. What is it that I learned every single month? Always be green and growing, never red and ripe. Okay, let's circle. there you go, right? Let's circle back. Lynn in Tennessee asks, how do I sell more? Lynn, just the fact that you signed up here is the right place. That's all we're focusing on is selling more. We're hoping already the ground that we're covering is helpful for you as well from that perspective. So thank you so much for joining us. Jed, let's shift gears and let's talk. The third point we promised to cover here is we said what we measure is what improves. Now, Jed, before we go down this point, I have a little sense around media bids that we do a lot of measuring. Would you agree?
Yep, that's mostly what we do, right?
So why don't you just say a few words about the things that you measure as you think about advertising, advertisers, and advertising results. Why don't we open with that, and then I'm going to make some closing remarks about what we measure is what improves, okay?
Okay, sure. So I mean, one of the ways that that we have been able to attract customers who don't use print is by proving to them that the results that print generates can compete with any other medium. And the way that we do this is in general by tracking the number of phone calls that each ad generates. So we, and most weeks, we have about 10,000 ads that run, and we have a unique phone number in every single ad. So we know exactly how many calls Omaha Steaks is getting from, you know, the Texas Penny Saver, and from the, you know, the daily newspaper in Minnesota. With that information, we can then begin to learn things, right? Because we can sort of follow the customer through that process. So we know how many people called. We know how long people spent on the phone when they call. We know whether there was a sale or not, whether someone purchased. We know how much they bought. We can begin to see how different publications perform differently for any given client. With some client help, we can then also see what that customer did after they made that initial purchase. So whether they bought multiple times throughout the year, whether they, canceled their order a month later and were pissed off about something and never came back again. We can see all of these pieces of information. So for us, the main things we're looking at is how many responses did each ad generate? You know, that's a pretty good indicator of just sort of the consumer demand and the effectiveness of the particular media. And it really can range wildly. I mean, there are lots of examples that we see every day where, you know, a daily newspaper with 50,000 circulation might generate 50 responses, you know, in one geographic location. A daily newspaper with the same circulation in a different geographic location might only generate one or two responses. So there's really a lot to learn about sort of where consumers, what consumers want in different areas. You know, your area might be different than you know, even just a few miles away. So we're looking at the number of phone calls that are generated from each ad that we place. We're looking at the average length of the call because we want to see, you know, sort of an overall, get a take on the overall quality. We're looking at the amount of sales that are generated from each ad. And that gives us a good idea of the return on investment, you know, and we're able to then show the advertiser that the money they're spending is, you know, we're justifying the money that they're spending, and that's a really good way to get them to spend more. So those are the three main components that we're looking at for every campaign every day.
Mm-hmm. So as you're listening to Jed talk about, right, Jed, you know, 10,000 ads, and they're doing that level of evaluation for every single ad. So what is it you're doing, right? What is it you're doing? What are you measuring as it relates to how many advertisers, how many clicks from the e-newsletter, for example, and how does that compare to last month and the month before? How about how many forms for advertisers that, or for leads that were filled out that went to advertisers? How about how many phone calls? I mean, these are all the pieces, right, Jed?
Right. And I'll give you a good example of what you can do with that information, right? So we've had clients who've told us, you know, the the number of the cost per acquisition is too high, right? We think we can get cheaper cost per acquisition online, so we're going to stop working with you, on this. And we say, okay, that's fine, you know, because there's always another company out there we've found who wants those customers, right? So we then simply turn around and we go to, you know, if it, let's say it's a satellite television provider, right? And they say, well, you know, we can't pay that per acquisition. Maybe they have a bad call center. Maybe they are not doing a good job on the phones. There's aspects of the cost per acquisition that the advertiser alone really can control, right? Maybe they have a really bad sales process. But by measuring it, what you can do is you can go to a competitor and you can say, well, you know, in the case of satellite television, you know, we generated, you know, 1,000 calls for Dish Network last month. Would you like 1,000 calls from people who are looking for, you know, for satellite television? And, you know, again, and sort of getting back to the question about advertising agencies, you know, most advertisers don't really care, right? They don't care if you say that it's coming from a daily newspaper or a penny saver or, you know, or online. If they can get 1,000 calls for something that they're trying to sell, you know, at a price that they think they can make work, then they're going to do it, right? And so for us, the challenge is, you know, is just compiling the data and putting it in a format and understanding it so that we can express it correctly to our advertisers, you know, because if we can express it correctly, then really we have a large number of options. And we're not married to just one provider, you know, because what we really have is we have data on you know, on sort of a whole kind of, you know, network, so to speak. And, you know, and if I was running a local paper, I think I would feel the same way. I think I'd feel like, well, you know, what I'm really selling here is access to my readers. And I have to be able to show what my readers respond to and what my readers want. And the best way to show that is to show what they've responded to in the past. And when you can express that, right, it really opens up a lot of doors because what you'll find is that most advertisers are not really that concerned about the overall volume. I mean, you know, that's the one negative that print has is that the overall volume is less than other mediums, but the amount of response that you're likely to see from any one ad in print is going to be less than the response that you'd see for, you know, an ad on television, for example. But the value of the response still is very, very high. So if an advertiser, you know, has to spend, you know, $100 to get $200 back, they're going to love that. They're going to do it even though it's a small, you know, a small amount. And their biggest complaint to you is most likely to be, how come I can't get more calls? How come I can't get, you know, what I'm getting is great, but, you know, what do I have to do to double it? What do I have to do to triple it? You know, because the quality of what I'm getting is really good.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And that's exactly the point as you're listening to Jed through the eyes of he and his team are going out and buying 10,000 ads. Think about how many of those ads fall into your print publications. In reverse, think about how many advertisers you're working with and what is it they're saying in terms of how they're evaluating your print, your newsletter, and your website. You know, remember, too, the other pieces, what we measure is what improves. We've been talking a little bit about, you know, our search engine visibility, right? Every 30 days, where are we ranked for those keywords and phrases? You know, that's one of those things that we measure. What about our distribution and SERP? What about our social media? Isn't it great we have 10,000 followers on Twitter, but are any engaging with us? Or what about on Facebook or on our blogs or on our Instagram, right, or on our LinkedIn? It goes all the way across the board. What about in this dashboard as we're looking at the overall prevailing trend of presentations that we're given, right, or our renewal percentages, or even our market share or market penetration? Market share is where we measure how many total ads are in the marketplace. What percent of those do I have? Which percent of those advertisers are in one of my competitors, two of my competitors, three of my competitors are not in mine? Or what are the total dollars of everything being spent in the marketplace, and what percentage, what piece of that are you getting? I was once working with an advertiser, Jed, about 4 or 5 months ago, we were looking at that particular sector, and I said, well, roll up all the competitors. Well, there's a lot of competitors. All right, well, let's start with the print. Okay, Ernest, there's four of them. Great. What's being spent across that space? How much is being rolled out? Well, we think about, we think about $5 million. Well, what are we getting? Well, we're getting about $400,000. Okay, well, the first thing you answered is there's a lot of money moving around. Secondly, is that you're not a print, you're not the first choice. So there's plenty of opportunity, there's plenty of money being spent, and you're not getting it. Market share and market penetration, these are the things that drive a profitable and successful media group. These are the strategic pieces. Try to imagine everything we've covered here today as we're wrapping up. It's in a circle. My readership, to the right readers, to the right SERC, to the right SEO, to the right search, to the right results, to the right tracking. It all circles around in one continuous circle. But if you break that circle, the circle stops. You can't just take three of the strategies you heard from Jed and myself and say, ta-da, we baked a cake. It's like saying, well, let's see, the recipe calls for 2 eggs, 4 cups of flour, and a little oil. What if I use half an egg? Well, what if I only use 1 cup of flour? Isn't that still the formula? No, it doesn't bake the cake. You just got lumpy flour, okay? You have to bake a cake in our media world. Jed, as we're winding up here and as we're closing out 2017, leaning into 2018, how about some closing words for our group before we wrap up for today?
Sure. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We continue to face challenges, in the media industry, but I will say that, the role of local print publications that are producing, unique content has never been more important and never been more valuable. A lot of what we spoke about today, I think helps. It's centered around the idea that what you're doing is valuable, and it's just sort of giving you ideas to how to express that differently and more effectively to your advertisers. But don't lose sight of the fact that what you're doing is still incredibly important and relevant. If nothing else, that's true. Perhaps your sales approaches need tweaking, but the overall mission of what you do is still incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. You bet, absolutely. And we believe more than ever, as you listen to Jed talk about the impact of advertising, talking about the impact of print and the incredible success that it drives and brings. You'll hear more of that as we go into 2018, but never back off on your ability to drive and generate results. But you must do what? You must measure the things that you most want to track and improve, and the tracking of ad results, the tracking of inbound phone calls, the tracking of every step of the way gives you the justification and the ability to say we are the premier source. As we wrap up for today, please take a few minutes to go take a look at MediaBids and the wonderful work that they do for those of you not familiar with them, and take a look at our website, powerhour.com. You'll see that there's a box for the work that we do in the media space. We have a wonderful flagship sales academy that happens every single Tuesday. It works just like this. You dial in. We share materials in a much more granular. What we covered here today might have been spread across 5 or 6 Tuesdays, and the biggest difference is we field your questions real time. It's an open line. We field your questions nonstop in a very granular way, and we step you through the things that we covered here today. So thank you so much for being here with us. Jed, always a pleasure working with you and your team. And to each of you and all of you, we hope you have a healthy and prosperous wind down into the holidays and are set and ready for 2018. So make it a great day. And Jed, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Take care.